You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday, Reggie Miller. He'll be joining us. The return of Aloysius coming up in about 20 minutes or so. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. What we saw that we liked, we didn't like. McLovin has a poll question. Are you staying with the poll question final hour, McLovin?
Yeah, I like it. Who do you blame for the Aaron Rodgers situation? Aaron Rodgers or the Packers? 74% say the Packers.
Okay. I think from the outside, I think nationally as opposed to locally, that most people would put the blame on the Packers because they drafted Jordan Love. You know, it was a risk when they did it. The risk and the reward was, the risk was, is Aaron Rodgers going to be upset? The reward is he gave you an MVP season, and yes, he is upset. Imagine if Aaron Rodgers had a subpar season. Let's say he had half of the touchdown passes. They missed the playoffs. Then we're talking about Jordan Love in the future, his future with the Packers, and that being a smart draft pick. I don't know who leaked this. That's what I'm interested. You know, I think there's been unrest, uncertainty, an uncomfortable feeling between Aaron Rodgers and the franchise. I think that's been there for a little while. Now, where are we going? Is this business? Is this a business decision by Aaron Rodgers, or is it personal? Because it can be personal, but you still, like I had feuds with people at ESPN. That was personal. But the business side of it was I still wanted to stay there. And can you put that to the side? This is your immediate boss, the GM, Brian Gutekunst. That's tougher because I didn't see my boss every day at ESPN. And if I did, then it probably would have been tough to keep, you know, blinders on and just saying, all right, I'm going to do my job. Obviously, that is to a lesser degree what's going on here. But, you know, that's the only feeling, you know, or firsthand knowledge I would have of something like that, that this guy is going to have, you know, he's drafting your replacement. He bet against me, and now here we are. And he doesn't give you the heads up. I think if the Packers gave Aaron a heads up, judging from what Rodgers said when he was on a couple of weeks ago, it just felt like, why am I finding out like everybody else? When could you have told him? Because that's another part of this. Let's say you said to Aaron Rodgers, going into the draft, hey, if there's somebody there that we like, then we might take him as a quarterback down the road. Just so you know, we don't know yet. Let's see how the draft plays out. We don't want you to be surprised. Just a heads up. Would that have helped? And I'm guessing he wouldn't have been happy, but he would have at least respected you that you did let him know what you were going to do. And I think that's what a lot of these players would like to know. Is Tom Brady upset that the Buccaneers drafted Kyle Trask? No. No, I don't think so, and I don't know why he would be. Seems like a smart pick. I mean, got a chance to learn from Tom Brady 2 years. Maybe Tom is not playing anymore, and this could turn out to be a really good draft pick, the quarterback out of Florida. Yeah, Paul.
But like you said, maybe the Packers brass and Rodgers didn't get along for a while now, and they didn't feel comfortable calling him on draft night saying, hey, look, we're 2 minutes away from on the clock, and we're going to draft this guy. Maybe they didn't have that kind of relationship, and it goes back further, like you said.
And I don't know where we go from here, because Peter King, who joined us in the first hour, said he doesn't think Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback week one. I think it's still the best place for him to win a championship or compete for a championship. If he goes to the Raiders, if he goes to Denver, and I think that, you know, it's not a big guess or leap of faith to say they're going to, if they trade him, they would trade him outside of the NFC. I don't think you want Aaron Rodgers to come back and haunt you like that. Now the question is, what would be a destination? Where would he want to go? He doesn't have a no trade. You know, Russell Wilson has a no trade. And, you know, I guess the speculation over the weekend was, well, why not send him to Seattle and then send Russell Wilson to Green Bay? Played his college ball at Wisconsin. I don't know if that's on the list of teams that Russell... I think Russell Wilson... We haven't heard anything, right? Heard Pete Carroll, John Schneider, sort of give you an idea of what happened and where they are right now. And from what I'm told, Russ is doing fine. Russ is fine. You know, I don't know if he gets to be involved in any conversations here of what they do as a team, but I do think he got their attention, and maybe some things were addressed in the draft and free agency there. But I don't see that swap there between these two. Yeah, Paul.
I was watching Kentucky Derby on NBC, and they started showing Rodgers in the stands, and social media had Aaron Rodgers all over the Kentucky Derby. I kept thinking to myself, if Mike Tirico can get Aaron Rodgers to sit down for an interview during the broadcast, it'll be the highest-rated Kentucky Derby of all time. Everyone would have tuned into that.
Couldn't get him to sit down and do something on camera. Talk to him off camera. Before the Derby, NBC aired an interview with Mike Tirico, the trainer Bob Baffert and the Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Then, after Baffert's horse, Medina Spirit, won the race, Baffert thanked Belichick for giving him good luck. Not that he needed it. I mean, Baffert's won the Derby 7 times. But the sport's different. You could make an argument that Baffert belongs in the conversation with the likes of some of the great coaches. Belichick, Nick Saban, Mike Krzyzewski. Baffert talked about expectations with Belichick. And since they're so successful, we take for granted on just how hard it is to win. And Baffert picked this horse. This horse was once sold for $1,000. So you can have all these sheiks that have billions of dollars and they're trying to buy a winner here. This is a 12-1. The odds 12-1. And the reason that the odds weren't really long is the respect for Baffert. But on Saturday, we saw how much value a trainer can have like any sport. It's not just talent that wins. It's just like coaching. It's not just talent that wins. You got to have the right person there. And Baffert seems like a sociable guy. Nothing like the public image that Belichick has, but greatness comes in different forms, and Baffert undoubtedly is among the greatest. Yes, McLevin?
I saw the interview, and Tirico, I think, said Belichick was funny on Friday. That's a bit of a stretch. He was gushing over Baffert, but I don't know, whatever he's trying to be lighthearted, it feels kind of forced.
Well, I think what is funny for Belichick is not really funny for anybody else. But for Belichick, you go, boy, he looks like he's having fun. Now, that doesn't look like, if you were having that kind of fun at a party, your wife would go, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm having fun. That's always the feeling I get with Belichick. Hey, looks like he's having fun. How could you tell? I don't know. I thought he might have smiled. Like he might have. Yeah, Paul.
Is Belichick married? Girlfriend?
He's got girlfriend. A girlfriend.
Do you think she ever says, like, on Friday afternoon, I just want to let you know we're going to see Sally and Mike. We're doing game night down the street. Does he have that kind of relationship? I can't imagine him going down to the neighbor's house for game night.
Yeah, I don't think that he's probably that guy who's going over for a barbecue.
But he has to be at some point because the girlfriend or wife may say, like, you know, we're doing this. You know, sometimes they I would love to see that.
Yeah, but I think if you're his girlfriend, then you understand who he is. It's not like, you know, hey, I'm going to change this guy. He's almost 70 years of age. Yeah, see.
He comes in with a six-pack and some, you know, pasta salad in the bowl with a little saran wrap on it. Yeah, like, I just don't see that guy that being that guy.
He's sitting out there talking mortgage rates out in the backyard at the kiddie, by the kiddie pool.
Somebody says, hey, you want a gummy? Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice. I'd like to have a gummy.
Yeah, go ahead, right over there. The cooler up there, there's water in the blue one and some beers in the red one. Help yourself. Go ahead. Great to have you here.
Is that a new GMC Acadia? You leased it, right? Because you can't buy. The value just drops.
As soon as you drive it off the lot.
You drive off the lot, it's terrible.
Yes, Todd.
Well, what do you say? We're not doing that. You got to run that stuff by me before I'm not going to Sally's house.
Or he might go, we're on to Tom's house.
See, I don't think. Yeah.
We're going to go to Sally's. I'm on to Tom's house.
I don't think there's a guy in the world who can get away with that, not participating in those things once in a while, no matter how much money.
If he didn't have all those Super Bowls, he's not getting away with this.
She doesn't care.
Nobody wants to hang with that guy.
No.
No way.
No. The only reason you're hanging with Bill is because it's Bill Belichick. Yeah, Paul.
I think you got. Have you seen the woman he's with? He needs 9 Super Bowls to get a woman like that, and he's doing fantastic. He was on the cover of Nantucket Magazine on a bed of a Wagoneer.
Wait a minute. The Nantucket Magazine?
Yeah. Oh my God!
But she convinced him to do that.
That's like the Vogue of tiny island vacation spot magazines.
But you saw that
the
picture.
The Nantucket Magazine.
It wasn't his idea to be on the back there holding a bow of flowers on the back of a Wagoneer.
Well, you can tell that he looks miserable doing that. But, you know, it's like, hey, Bill, we got a chance to be on the cover. On the cover of Nantucket Magazine. Oh, that sounds great. So we'll be in like the Jeep Wagoneer and we'll make it seem like we're going to have a picnic on the beach. Yeah, that sounds great.
If you remember too, like his body language, he's like, his arm is around her, but he's leaning away. He's like,
just in case he needs to edit her out, you know, at some point and put in somebody else there. Yeah, Paul.
I've got the cover. She looks like she just won a pageant. She's so happy.
Oh, she's so excited.
He looks like he just had a call overturned in a playoff game.
No, it's like he just learned that Brady won the Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. That's great.
It looks like it's trying to be a smile, but the cheeks don't go upwards.
Oh, but I do think everything in moderation when you go, okay, what is he like? And then what is a real laugh or smile, or he's funnier? So I just do the ratio of that and I go, he may think he's having a hell of a time. We would be like, what's wrong with you? Yes, Todd.
He's got that look to him. He wants like everyone to know, especially his colleagues, like, you know, just to, you know, she made me do that. I have no interest in being on the cover of this. So I'm not going to go all in on a smile and look like I want to be there.
Yeah. Here was a stat that I found interesting. This is from Matt Pomeroy. He works for the Mothership. No Packer quarterback has played 17 seasons with the team. Bart Starr, 16 seasons. Brett Favre, 16 seasons. Aaron Rodgers, 16 seasons.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
I saw some grades that were handed out for the draft, and I don't know what it's based upon other than, you know, maybe a team's strategy here, because you don't know how these players are going to turn out. We don't. For every, that guy can't, you know, he's a can't miss prospect. They've missed. Now, the question is, I heard somebody say, you know, Trevor Lawrence is a lock for the Hall of Fame. So is Andrew Luck. No, he's not a lock for the Hall of Fame. Did you guys hear Robert Griffith Jr. III, his comments on Kirk T. Cousins? What's he?
It's just funny. Did you hear Robert Griffith Jr. III?
If you haven't tuned into our show and you're just hearing me say that, and you're right, I did mispronounce the name, Robert Griffith Jr. III, because he's not a junior, but he's not Griffith either. That's McLovin and his pronunciation.
Robert Griffith Jr. III.
Yes, McLovin.
I can recreate the tape exactly. Robert Griffith Jr. III.
You nail that imitation.
It's the only imitation I could do is me doing Robert Griffith Jr. III.
How about when you told Aaron Rodgers to relax and you misspelled relax?
Yeah, R-E-A-L-X. Hard to think on my feet.
I know. And you were sitting down at that time. Do we have RG3's comments about Kirk T. Cousins? Did we get that? I asked Marvin to see if he could find that.
It's brutal.
Yeah. RG3 was taking down Kirk T. Cousins, and they were drafted by Washington. They were drafted, first round and a fourth round pick. And then, RG3 couldn't stay healthy, and then Kirk T. Cousins came in and took his spot. Yes, Seton.
I don't have those comments, but I do have this.
Remember relax, R-E-A-L-X. Just R-E-A-L-X.
Or whatever.
That was still one of our best shirts. McLovin says R-E-A-L-X.
Yeah.
There's a line of coffee mugs, by the way. We made like 500 of them, and 427 are in my apartment right now. It did not sell. Remember relax, R-E-A-L-X.
McLovin's the smartest guy in the room.
Robert Griffith Jr. III.
Yeah, he gave us that one as well. But see, you're so smart at playing dumb. Like, you do a great job doing that.
Well, smart people aren't always, you could be scatterbrained.
Yeah. Are you scatterbrained? No. Like I am, but I'm not smart.
You've had probably flubs on the air that you remember that?
No. Yeah. Never. But I'm a C student. Nobody expected anything.
By the way, they were introducing on SportsCenter the soccer story about Man U, and they started with soccer breakdown.
Soccer breakdown.
So, and he's a smart broadcaster. He had soccer breakdown.
Oh, Gary Miller. Soccer breakdown. In 3, 2, 1. All right. We're going to take a break. The return of Reggie Aloysius Miller Jr. III. And more phone calls as well. Best and worst of the weekend. We will get to all of those items coming up on 17 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. It's Discover. Matching all the cash back. I sounded like Oprah there, didn't I? It's Discover. You get a credit card and you get a credit. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. How amazing is that? In fact, even more amazing, because of all the places where Discover is accepted, 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Discover.com/yes2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Kind of nervous, you know? Been a while. You know, it's like an old girlfriend, and then you see her again, and then you're excited, and you don't know what to say. Don't know where to start. Hi. What have you been up to? Yeah, I missed you. Reggie Aloysius Miller, Jr. III, the Hall of Famer. Yay! Look who's back. How you doing?
Everyone's got to have theme music when they've been away from the Theodore Patrick Show. So, baby, I'm back.
And baby is somewhere in the back room, right? The new baby.
Exactly.
Yeah, baby is back. How is the baby doing?
The baby is doing great. It's funny because everyone's like, where have you been? We've missed you on the Dan Patrick Show. I tell people, number one, COVID baby. And I've been on a long paternity leave. That's all. I said, I'm coming back. I just been on an extended paternity leave from the Theodore Patrick Show. That's all, people. We're back together. The family's back together.
We were worried that you were still going to be at the Wendy's house and that you weren't taking care of your kids. So I'm glad that you left the Wendy's house and you're taking care of the kids. You didn't name your baby Wendy. Right.
No,
you didn't.
No.
Okay.
She is not named Wendy.
Okay.
No, but I'm taking care of my kids, as all responsible fathers do. And not only am I not in the Wendy's again, I'm not in the Wendy's in Orlando because the last time we spoke,
<That's true. laughs>
I was stuck in Orlando in the bubble.
Yeah.
So, now I'm back home in California working remotely still. Oh. Harlan and I, we still call games remotely. I'll be glad once hopefully playoffs start, there'll be a little bit more interaction. But we are still working remotely for those of you who follow the NBA, but we're still having a great time.
Are you traveling during the playoffs? Do you know yet?
We will be traveling to Atlanta to call games, hopefully by the conference finals, which this year Turner has the Eastern Conference Finals, depending on the matchup and the two teams. Hopefully we will be on site. That still remains up in the air. I applaud Turner and Warner Media for wanting to keep us safe. We miss the interaction with the fans and being there in person, but it's always about safety first at Turner and Warner Media. So we're taking that approach.
Reggie will be on the call with Kevin Harlan. That'll be Thursday night. Lakers and the Clippers. Let me start with the Lakers here. If you were a betting man, the odds of the Lakers defending their title going back to the finals is what?
To me, it's all about health. And if LeBron and AD are healthy, the Lakers are always the team to beat. Now, I know LeBron has been back two games and they're 0-2 since he has returned. and they just have not looked well. And now I'm hearing reports out, LeBron saying whoever came up with this playoff format ought to be fired. Where was all this talk a month ago, 2 months ago, when the Lakers, when Boston, when Dallas, they were securely one of the top six teams? Now they're on the outside, possibly looking in. I know Dallas and the Lakers are like 5-6, with Portland being 7. All three of those teams are tied. It's a little bit of crying, because the whole point of the play-in was to make sure regular season games mattered. So take care of your business during the regular season. Finish 1-6 so you can rest, Theodore. Rest that week and let those other teams battle it out. LeBron goes down, AD goes down, and now they're kind of on a nosedive looking at 7-10. So I don't want to hear all the crying. If you would have took care of business, now I know injuries are a part of it, but I don't want to hear that, oh my God, the play-in. 1-6, you rest.
Here is LeBron James talking about the play-in games, and I don't know if he knows that he's taking a shot at the commissioner.
Well, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm not, 100%, close to 100%. It don't matter, where we land, So, that's my mindset. And, if this happens to we end up at 6th or 5th or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
LeBron. I'm going to guess the commissioner would like to talk to you. He's the one that came up with the idea.
Theodore, he's right, because I agree with him. If he finishes, if the Lakers finish 7, 8, 9, or 10, odds on with LeBron and AD, they're going to win their games. Who I feel sorry for, if I'm Phoenix or Utah,
yeah.
I don't want to see LeBron and AD possibly in the first round. That's who should be upset about this, if they happen to fall 7-10.
And Anthony Davis, since he came back, this is 6 games, has really not had an impact. Shooting under 40%, averaging 16 points. Lakers have been outscored by 56 points when he's on the court. The worst plus minus on the team, almost double of the second worst there. It's not just LeBron, it's AD. And as we talked about last year, I said, as great as LeBron is, they're not winning a title without AD. And I certainly feel that way. But if you're going to handicap the West, because we do this, we'll look at, hey, they were a great regular season team. I don't think anybody's bought into the Utah Jazz nationally. Wonderful year. Denver, I don't know if anybody's bought into them. Phoenix, I don't know if anybody's bought into them, where you go, you know what? If they meet with the Lakers, they'll beat them. Now, out of those three teams, who has the best, if you want to throw the Clippers in there too, who has the best chance of going to the Western Conference Finals or playing in the championship?
At the end of the day, and again, I will stress health. Health is of the utmost importance.
Let's say everybody's healthy. Lakers,
everyone's healthy. To me, it will always come down to the Lakers and Clippers.
Okay.
Because they've got bona fide superstars on both sides. They've got lockdown defense. Again, the Lakers, even though AD and LeBron missed so much time, they were still a top 4 defensive team, even without those two superstars. At the end of the day, Kawhi, Paul George, AD, LeBron, they're the two best teams, because I've seen their body of work in the playoffs. Sometimes with the Clippers, for Kawhi in San Antonio and Toronto, I'm going to go with the Clippers and the Lakers at the end of the day, and everyone is healthy. But again, that hasn't been the case this year. So the three teams you mentioned, Phoenix, Utah, and Denver, they somewhat scare me, because I think Denver is playing much better. People are like, well, they're going to be without Jamal Murray because of the injury. I think they're better defensively now. And Jokic, in my opinion, the MVP this year. So Denver is a scary team and will be a scary out. And on top of that, we'll have home court advantage. You've got to go there all the way up and probably until the conference finals, because one of those two spots will probably be Phoenix or Utah that will have home court advantage throughout the Western Conference.
I was wondering, and I try not to, delve into the MVP topic normally, because I think, a lot of hosts shows are trolling you because it's LeBron. If LeBron's involved in the conversation, then this is a big deal. Joker winning the MVP, nobody cares nationally about this. Even if it's Joel Embiid, nobody cares nationally. If LeBron and James Harden are in it, then you can at least have an arguing point. Chris Paul, to me, in true value to a team, not the best player, but true value to a team, I can't dismiss that. A lot of times we look at the stats that you throw in there and you go, well, he's the MVP. I'm just looking at value. And I can't argue Chris Paul being a legitimate MVP candidate. Why is he not considered, you know, one of the top five?
And certainly, let's put in if Phoenix finishes and ends up the number one seed in the West, because no one saw this coming.
Yeah.
And let's remember now what Phoenix did in bubble life in Orlando, going 8-0. And pushing those teams and narrowly missing out on making the playoffs in Orlando. So what has Monty Williams done? He's gone out and gotten the best leader, arguably, in the game in Chris Paul. And they have bought in to everything that he has said. Now, again, it remains to be seen what's going to happen in the playoffs. But I absolutely agree with you that Chris Paul needs to be getting more love for the MVP talk. Now, he's not the best player on that team. The closer and the best player on the team is Devin Booker. And I think that's what's kind of going to hurt him, because they will take votes away from one another. But in terms of value, the word you use, and a team buying in to a system and to a player and believing. Now, they are a young team. For a team to believe, and that's all spearheaded by the head of the snake and Chris Paul.
He's Reggie Miller, the Hall of Famer, back with us, and he's on the call Thursday night. It's Lakers-Clippers at 10 Eastern on TNT. And so when you're doing the games at home, the kiddies are in bed by then? So nobody's, like, walking in when you're doing the game and interrupting you at home?
Kevin calls the game from his basement in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate enough to be able to go to a studio, because they asked me, hey, do you want to call the games from home? They gave me that option. I'm like, hell to the no, am I doing that? Because I would be changing a diaper as well as blowing noses from two little kids. There's no way I could functionally call a 2.5-3 hour game with three kids. There's just no way. So I'm fortunate enough to go to a studio and call the game and sync up with my partner, Kevin Harlan.
Are you at your house right now?
I'm at my house now.
Where? There's nothing on the walls, Reg.
I'm at my rented house.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, man.
There's nothing here. There's nothing here. This is the office of the rented house. There's a trash bin. There's a fax machine. There's Michael Jackson's hat. That's the prized possession in here. Michael Jackson's Billie Jean hat. But that's it.
Wait, go get that.
That is it.
Bring that over here. So this is the Billie Jean hat?
Oh, this is the Billie Jean hat. And I can even take it off. Woo!
Reg has got the Michael Jackson hat under glass.
And signed.
What did that cost you?
It was a retirement gift from the Pacers.
Oh!
It was a retirement gift from the Pacers. How cool is this? You know, so when you watch the video and he's throwing it out, these are one of the fedoras, right? Come on, you can't go. This is the number one price of the Jordan jersey, the Bird jersey, the Magic jersey, all them signed by the great basketball gods, the Mount Rushmore. I'm taking this as my most prized possession ever in my house.
Wait, you got a Jordan signed jersey?
I did. I do.
Okay. Because you never got along with him.
No.
Who asked for it?
Oh, you think I asked for that?
No.
I'll do it again. Hail to the no.
But you had to ask somebody to do it.
Yes.
Okay.
One of the people that worked for the Pacers obviously wanted one. And they're like, hey, I'll get two if you can, like, you know, put a word in. I was like, I'm not putting a word in. But so I sent a ball boy down to the Bulls locker room and says, hey, Reg is, you know, there's a friend that works for the Pacers, would love your autograph. And, you know, him and a friend know if you'll sign these two. I was the friend. He didn't say Reggie wanted the jersey.
Did Michael want one of your jerseys?
Okay, for the third time, hell to the no, MJ wanted my jersey. No.
I don't think Jordan has any jerseys on his.
No, I don't think so. Either.
Right?
No.
Just
I don't
his.
Think Bird has any, and I don't think maybe Magic does. Magic is a hooper. Maybe Magic does. But I don't think Bird or Air Jordan has any.
Are you sold on the Knicks? Like, this is a legitimate feel-good story with the Knicks?
I'm absolutely sold. I'm sold that they can win a first-round playoff matchup. I think they can get to the conference semis.
Really?
They play great defense. They have a bona fide coach in Coach Thibodeau. Julius Randle, most improved. No question. Hands down, is going to probably win that this year. And I think R.J. Barrett is starting to understand the game. They play, again, they're long, they're athletic. It's a great feel-good story. It's great to have the number one media market, New York, have two good teams, to have Brooklyn and New York. I think that's great for the league. But I think the Eastern Conference is, I think it's wide open. I know everyone wants to lean towards Brooklyn. I hope those guys make it to the finish line, you know? I know what, you know, KD had a great game last night. Kyrie's been playing great. We're still waiting for Harden to come back. He had a little bit of a setback with a hamstring injury. The team to watch in the East, I'm telling everyone this, they were the most disappointing team the last 2 years because they had the best record.
Let me see if I can get.
Just blew it.
Yeah, you just did. Okay. Continue.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I think they were never used to being the hunter, right? They were always being. I think now that they're going to go out and be the hunter instead of the hunted, I think Milwaukee's in the best place because no one's talking about them. They're talking about Philly. They're talking about Brooklyn. And they're talking about what's wrong with Boston. No one's talking about Milwaukee. Yep. I mean, what did Giannis do last night versus Brooklyn and KD? Puts up 49 in his return. Milwaukee, this could be the year.
Explain to me why the Pelicans are so bad.
I don't know.
Like they play less defense than I do, Reg.
And you know what? It's so wild because their head coach is all about defense and Stan Van Gundy.
That's why they brought him in, right?
Yes, yes. Look, this is very unique and weird year. It really is. There's no practice time. It's all about game. You have a game every other day, and it's Stan's first year. I'm going to give him a little bit of a long leash. If they play like this next season, then it's something. It's an area of concern. But it's just been a weird year, Theodore.
And Zion, you know, he's real. I'm wondering, like, what does he add to his game? Because all great players add something, it feels like, almost on a yearly basis.
75%, and that's probably, I'm probably exaggerating. Okay, I will say 68% of his shots and field goals come from in the paint, yeah. Right? You can't stop him. So if you can't stop him out of the paint, if he got a 15 to 18 foot face-up jump shot consistently, how are you going to guard him? Same like we say this about Giannis too. Like how if he ever got that consistently,
yeah.
How would you guard him? Because both have quick first steps, both can jump over you, both can handle the basketball, and both are smart enough to know when they're double and triple team to find the open player. He just needs a face-up jump shot.
Yeah, but why is it one of the great leapers in the game doesn't have a jump shot? Like he doesn't jump on his jump shot.
Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I look, if they can't stop how he's scoring now, keep going to it.
Yeah.
Where it will come out and where his flaws will be exposed is if they ever made the playoffs. Because when you make the playoffs and you get into a series, teams take away your three best moves, three best plays, what you do the best. And that's when we would see if Zion is able to adapt to playoff basketball.
If you lose one of the three on Brooklyn for an extended amount of time in the playoffs, who could they afford to lose for an extended period of time?
Probably James Harden, because we're kind of seeing that now. I think they can't afford to lose KD for an extended period of time, because he is arguably the best player, in my opinion, in the league, and he's a closer. Kyrie would be second because of his ball handling and shot-making ability. And I think when James Harden does eventually return, he is going to take on the de facto point guard. He's going to defer a lot and score when he needs to, but I think he'll be the bona fide true point guard on this team once he does return. But to me, James Harden would be the third person. If you had to lose him for an extended period of time, I think the Nets would still be successful with KD and Kyrie.
It's great to see you. Great to have you back. And Reds will be with us throughout the playoffs there. Lakers, Clippers at 10 Eastern on Thursday night. You got your Michael Jack. Do you know the whole dance routine?
I know it, but I... Wait, come on. Shove on it.
Don't pull a hamstring there.
Oh, ah. These 55-year-old legs aren't the same.
Oh, I know. I know. Great to have you back. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you guys.
Thank
you, Reg. Love you. Love you, Danettes.
Reggie Aloysius Miller Jr. III. We're back after this. We have an Against the Grain by McLovin. Last call for phone calls right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Great to have Reggie back. Let's get to Chris in Los Angeles. Chris has been on hold for a while. Chris, thanks for hanging in there. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call, DP. Dennis, good to hear you guys on a Monday. So best and worst of the weekend, lots of stuff coming out of Notre Dame, obviously in book and draft of the Saints, the lacrosse team beating Syracuse 22-8, and the blue and gold game was this past weekend. So Drew Pine at quarterback impressed. So lots of good things at Notre Dame. My worst was LAFC looking a little flat over the weekend, making a tie in Houston, and hopefully we rebound this weekend when LAFC takes on the Galaxy for the LA Derby.
Thank you, Chris. Get a little niche-y there, Chris. Like, really, really narrow there with your best and worst of the
weekend. Towson's men's volleyball upset Delaware, Dan.
Yes, do you wear? Was I a little rough on Chris there with his best worst of the weekend?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know that MLS is that niche-y.
Well, the blue and gold game at Notre Dame.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Notre Dame is a big program.
Like Notre Dame beat Syracuse and lacrosse. I mean, it just felt a little niche-y.
Okay. Well, niche-y, dog.
Niche-y. Ray Niche-y. 75% of Zion Williamson's points have been in the paint this season. How about that? 95% of his field goal attempts have been in the paint this season. Yeah, good for him if you're able to do that. By the way, Robert Griffith Jr. III was, I guess he was a draft analyst. I'm assuming because this is...
Was it an interview, I think?
Was it?
Sort of, he was on some sort of digital interview, sort of draft analysis.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He had this to say about Kirk Cousins. The Vikings took Kellen Mond and RG3 very high on Kellen Mond from Texas A&M. Not that high on Kirk Cousins.
I would tell you this, with great determination and great coaching, I think this is a guy that could be a real riser over the course of his career. And as you see, you know, Cousins has been collecting checks there in Minnesota for a long time, taking them to 8-8 and 9-7 seasons. If he has a bad start to the year like he did last year, I could see the fans and maybe the organization leaning towards Mund if he comes in and impresses.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, Paulie.
That guy's got a future ahead of him.
Yeah. I thought RG3. Well, as long as he's critiquing players that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
Or that he lost his job to because he couldn't stay healthy. Maybe RG3 should have given the same analysis to his career that would have helped him stay healthier. Maybe if he assessed it a little bit more of what he should and shouldn't do on the football field, then maybe he'd still be playing. Yeah, Paul.
I'd love to see Kirk Cousins respond and say something like, you know, I'm not collecting checks. I have direct deposit because it's a more efficient way to handle your finances, Robert. Boom.
Is Kirk Cousins the Joe Johnson of the NFL? Like Joe Johnson, minivan owner, still, I think he's trying to come back and play. Joe Johnson.
Joseph Joe Johnson. Yeah.
Like, what's your nickname? They call me Joe. Oh, okay. Never would have gotten that nickname.
My old friends from the neighborhood call me Joey.
If you really know me, then you call me JJ. Yes, he.
One time I went to my son's parent-teacher conference thing, and there was a little, like, one of the kids in his class there. I don't know, he must have been, like, I don't know, at the time, 7 or 8 years old or something. And the little boy said, "Hi, I'm Alex, but you can call me Alexander."
Okay.
This is funny. Like, you got a little backwards, kid, but all right. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks, Alexander.
Ryan in Honolulu joins us with some mock headlines. Then I got to get to Against the Grain. All right. Give me a couple of mock headlines. Then I got to get to McLovin's Against the Grain.
All right. Let's do it. We got NFL draft mock headlines. Quarterbacks of the first round table. 49ers like Trey Lancelot.
Gotta laugh.
All right, give me one more.
No Jordan Love lost. Aaron gives Packers a Rogering.
Big in England. That'd be big in England.
Yeah, a Rogering. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. All right. The accent always helps. McLovin, Against the Grain.
It's not even a whole segment, but I want to set up some draft bets for next year since we had so much fun.
All right.
I got two first-round quarterbacks, if they're not first-rounders, they're outside the norm, who I will take pies for. And if they are first-rounders, I get to assign pies to other Danettes.
How about we save this for tomorrow?
Yes.
Because I think this is a little bit bigger. You know, I want to give you enough time, let it breathe a little bit. Maybe we have a guest involved in this.
Ooh. You know who's really good? Matt Miller already is putting out his look-ahead mock draft, so he could evaluate it pretty well, the ESPN draft analyst.
All right. So 2022 first-round draft projections?
Yeah, I mean, it's already 2 days out. I can't believe we haven't broken the whole thing down yet.
That's an eternity. Let's see. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, what'd you learn today?
Peter King expects Jimmy G to start week one for the Niners, does not expect Aaron Rodgers under center for Green Bay.
McLovin, what'd you learn today?
Reggie Miller basically knows the Michael Jackson moves.
Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, he's got a Michael Jackson hat, too.
Yeah, he does. Autographed. Yeah. Autographed. Paulie, what'd you learn today?
And I love Wang.
All right. That's what we learned to start the show. Paulie hit the wrong sound effect. He was going to hit the applause sign. Paulie's left eye is his bad eye, yep. So he punched the wrong button.
Putting a bow on it there.
Yeah. And I love Wang.
And I love Wang.
What did I learn today, Todd?
Reggie Miller finds it interesting that all of a sudden LeBron James doesn't like the 7-10 playoff format though that much.
Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans, build equipped, engineered to be ready for anything, go the extra mile by taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support for Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin, yours truly. This has been the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. It's M-Drive. Look, we all face age. It's inevitable. Age is undefeated. But you know what? I'm giving age a run for its money. Thanks to M-Drive. I start my day with M-Drive. Everyday supplement for guys with drive. Guys who refuse to let age beat them. M-Drive is packed with powerful ingredients backed by science. Helps keep me energized, stronger, leaner. You got a lot to live and you want to attack it. How do you feel today? You ready to go? Ready to try M-Drive? MDriveDan.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. You can get M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. You don't have to slow down just because somebody says you're supposed to. Try M-Drive, MDriveDan.com. Once again, you can go to a store, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Carry the products. Energy, strength, drive. It works for me, and it can work for you. MDriveDan.com. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, or mdrivedan.com.